KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's clear and 30 degrees in Atlantic. We look for it to be partly cloudy today, a high of 52. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you this hour by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. Once again, our top story this morning, a Hamlin teen has died and three other people were injured during a near-head-on collision Wednesday night in Audubon County. The State Patrol says 17-year-old Christopher George Crawley, who was wearing a seatbelt, died at the Cascotti Memorial Hospital in Atlantic following the crash that happened at around 11:25 p.m. on Highway 71 just north of Brayton. The teen was a passenger in a 1997 Jeep Grand Cherokee that was traveling north on Highway 71 when it collided near the center line of the road with a southbound 2006 Chevy pickup. Following the crash, both vehicles came to rest in the west ditch. Injured in the crash was the driver of the SUV, 22-year-old Jason Robert Rattenborg of Audubon, and two persons in the pickup, including the driver, 55-year-old Kendall Lee Ware of Lineville, and 30-year-old Mark Anthony Pearson of Leon. Two of the injured were taken to the Cass County Hospital, the other two to the Audubon County Hospital by Exira Rescue. The accident remains under investigation. I'll have more news in just a moment.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
Well, an elderly Council Bluffs woman has died from injuries she suffered during a house fire Wednesday afternoon. Bluffs Fire Chief Alan Byers said they received two calls about the smoke coming from a home near 9th Avenue and Spruce Streets in Council Bluffs at around 1:30 p.m.
An employee of Black Hills Energy was driving down the street and saw smoke from a house, stopped, knocked on the door, nobody answered, went to a neighbor's house, they called 911, went to a neighbor's house, they called 911.
Police officers were the first to arrive on the scene.
Police kicked a door in, the smoke was really bad. Crews got on the scene right behind him. First crews in, did a search, found an elderly lady who has since passed away.
They found the woman unconscious in her kitchen. Rescue workers performed CPR while they were en route with her to Mercy Hospital, where, again, she later died. The woman's name has not yet been released, pending notification of relatives. Fire crews located the fire in the hallway outside of a bedroom in the one-story home and extinguished the flames within minutes. Byers said there were two smoke detectors in the home, one in the bedroom and one in the basement.
I don't know if either one of them was working. First in crews did not hear a working smoke detector.
Byers applauded the efforts of the woman's neighbor and the utility worker who stopped to help and call 911.
It's pushing that message to take care of neighbors and, you know, look around when you're driving around. And here again, it's people that cared and were willing to stop and try and make a difference, and we have to appreciate that.
The cause of the fire remains under investigation. One person was killed and three others critically injured during a rollover accident that took place just before noon Wednesday north of Glenwood in Mills County. Iowa State Patrol Trooper Scott Miller said the accident happened when a Jeep Liberty SUV went out of control on a gravel road near 221st and Ellington and rolled about 50 yards.
That vehicle rolled all the way down the trees and then a couple of the passengers were found beyond the trees.
Miller says 19-year-old Chance Eric Gunderson of Council Bluffs was ejected and found underneath the vehicle. He died at the scene. The driver of the SUV, 21-year-old Timothy Scott Mahon of Council Bluffs, was listed in serious condition Wednesday afternoon at Creighton University's Trauma Center in Omaha. Two other passengers, 23-year-old Felicia Marie Hansen of Council Bluffs and 19-year-old Jacob Allen Wall of Glenwood, were also transported to Creighton, where they were listed in critical condition. Trooper Miller said the accident scene was like none he's seen before in terms of how violent it was.
Not ejected that high or that far, probably, no. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Sheriff's officials in Montgomery County report the arrest Wednesday evening of a Villisca man on an assault charge. 27-year-old William Joseph Picorni was charged with simple domestic assault after deputies responded to a reported incident in the 100 block of North 5th Avenue in Villisca at around 7:10 p.m. Wednesday. Picorni was booked into the Montgomery County Jail in Red Oak, where he was being held on $300 bond. Officials at the Iowa Department of Public Safety reported Wednesday evening that 35-year-old Jason Curtis of Glenwood was arrested on felony warrants, charging him with child endangerment, neglect of a dependent person, and willful injury. Curtis's arrest was the result of an investigation conducted by the Glenwood Police Department and the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation. That investigation concluded that on July 14th of this year, in Glenwood, Curtis allegedly caused the death of his 5-month-old son, Jackson Curtis, during an incident. No other details have been released. Authorities say if you have any information that may be of assistance to the officers in conducting their investigation, you're asked to contact the Iowa DCI at 712-322-1585. Or the Glenwood Police Department at 712-527-4844. The Iowa Court of Appeals Wednesday ruled that the Atlantic Community School District does not have to release records on the discipline of two employees involved in a controversial strip search of students. The court said the information is part of confidential employee records. The alleged strip searches were conducted on 5 teenaged girls during a gym class in August of 2009 after another student reported that $100 had been stolen from her. Athletic Assistant Principal and Athletics or Activities Director Paul Cron resigned in November and was one of two employees identified by the district as having been involved. The other employee was identified as Heather Turpin, but nothing was said about their punishment. Iowa ACLU Executive Director Ben Stone says they will seek further review from the Iowa Supreme Court.
You know, we're troubled that the way that the appeals court interpreted the statute, it makes it likely that school districts and other government entities are going to have an incentive to keep employees that are that have engaged in some, you know, bad or negligent conduct on staff in order to keep things secret.
He says the interpretation allows employers to hide behind the law protecting confidential employee records.
If an employee is fired or dismissed, then the reasons for that dismissal are something that the public can learn about through the open records law. But if that person is not discharged, if they're not dismissed or fired, then as the Court of Appeals has interpreted Chapter 22, that discipline is not allowed to be distributed to the public.
Ben Stone says the case is not about an everyday review of an employee's performance.
What we've argued is that, look, this is a very specific incident, and they divulged to the public voluntarily the names of the people involved, and the kind of basic facts as they understood them to be. So this is not like going on a fishing expedition to find out which employees might be doing something that the public doesn't like. This is a very specific situation.
Stone says they believe the specific situation should be weighed against the employees' rights to determine if the information should be released.
What we're looking for at the ACLU of Iowa is a situation where the public's right to know is properly balanced. And one of the judges at the Court of Appeals agreed with us, so we're encouraged. We're going to try to get the Supreme Court of Iowa to take the case.
Atlantic Superintendent Dr. Mike Amstein had this to say about yesterday's ruling by the Iowa Court of Appeals.
Well, I think it affirms the district court's decision on the open records issue. And I think that's good news to hear for the district, so we can go ahead and move on and get to the business of educating students.
There was one dissenting opinion of the ruling, but Amstein said the ruling was strong nonetheless.
I think the decision speaks for itself in that two of the judges did feel that the district court was correct in their finding.
He also commented on the possible appeal by the ACLU to the Iowa Supreme Court.
They do have an opportunity to do that, but I think probably our board attorney would advise us best on that. But, at this point, I'm just glad to hear that the Court of Appeals has affirmed the lower court decision.
The majority ruling of the court said, quote, "We acknowledge the public interest in open access to governmental records and the conflict between access and the interest in protecting privacy rights of employees. But we agree with the district court that any expansion of the public's rights to these records is a matter for the legislature to determine." Justice Amanda Potterfield disagreed with the majority ruling. She said while the disciplinary measures may implicitly contain information regarding the job performances of the two individual employees, the privacy interests implicated here, the measures relate most directly to the response of the school district in which the public has a legitimate interest. She says her analysis of the decisions of the Iowa Supreme Court in cases involving the exemption to our open records law for personal information and personnel records leads her to believe the disclosure of the narrow piece of information requested by the ACLU should not be categorically denied under the circumstances of the case. Taking a look now at world headlines this hour, big news out of Libya. There are conflicting reports on whether ousted Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi may have been captured or killed. NATO confirms it hit a convoy of Gaddafi loyalists fleeing his hometown of Sirte as the city fell today. White House officials are monitoring the reports about the fate of Muammar Gaddafi. The reports of his capture or death follow Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton's visit to Tripoli on Tuesday. She said there that she hoped Gaddafi would be captured or killed. The number of people applying for unemployment benefits is down slightly. The Labor Department says applications fell by 6,000 last week, but applications are still above the levels consistent with a healthy economy. And the re-entry window for a German satellite that's falling out of orbit has been narrowed from 4 days to 2. German scientists say it's now expected to plunge back to Earth sometime this weekend. Almost 2 tons of it will likely reach the ground or ocean in up to 30 different chunks. News time is 8:10.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
And in our funeral announcements, Bradley Bell, age 57, of Anita, died Monday at his home. Memorial services for Brad Bell will be today at 11 o'clock at the Anita Community Center. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita has the arrangements. Connie Jameson, age 58, of Greenfield, died Sunday at Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Connie Jameson will be today at 11:15 at the Greenfield United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Shirley Naomi Wilson, age 96, of Oakland, died Tuesday at the Oakland Manor. Funeral services for Shirley Wilson will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Oaklawn Christian Church in Oakland. Reekin Veith Funeral Home in Oakland has the arrangements. Robert Pigsley, age 64, of Des Moines and formerly of Anita, died Sunday at his home in Des Moines. Graveside services for Robert Pigsley will be held at noon tomorrow in the Atlantic Cemetery. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has arrangements. Dixie Dell Goodner, age 85, of Harlan, died October the 12th in Koshkonong, Wisconsin. A mass of Christian burial service for Dixie Goodner will be Saturday at 10 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. And Ralph Chiz Jones, age 94, of Audubon, died Monday at Mercy Hospital Medical Center in Des Moines. Celebration of life services for Chiz Jones will be held at a later date with the Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon in charge of the arrangements. That's a check of our news brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.